SuperValu now have more online slots than ever before. Shop now at supervalu.ie. Collect your weekly shop with our contactless collection service. At SuperValu, we're there for you.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Disney vs. Disney Debates, the podcast where we're going to figure out exactly what is the best Disney film ever made. I am your host and Grandmaster Zane C. Weber, here with the second of our pop vote audience choice debates. So these are movies that got knocked out of the first round and then were voted for by the general public to get given a second chance. Now, these pop votes will go up against the wild cards through to the semifinals, and then the winner of the wild card versus pop vote will face off against the overall winner in the bonus episode at the end of the debates.
Wow, it's exciting.
So, today we are debating number 3 versus number 4 of the pop vote ranking. Lilo and Stitch versus Brave.
It's true.
So, fact checking today is none other than Miranda Selwood.
Hello.
Who is eating some lovely gummy candy right now. I'm sorry, I should have looked at you before I said your name.
They're so sour and so sweet.
And defending Brave back again is
Gina Schwartz. How's it going?
And defending Lilo and Stitch on behalf of Julie Eisentrager is...
It's me, KB.
Now, your friend and my friend, all of our friends...
Our friend.
Julie Eisentrager couldn't be here today.
She could not.
But so she had already done the homework.
Yeah, she did, guys. Julie has done the homework.
So unusual.
I think that deserves a round of applause. Well done, Julie. And she sent it to me, and now I'm going to read her words and hopefully do it justice.
But you have seen the movies.
Yes, I have
seen
the movies.
Okay, so we are prepared. So the winner of this debate will be facing off against Ratatouille in the next round.
Oh. Cool. That's okay.
So, we have rolled a dice and determined that KB will be going first.
Yes.
So, in this round, you have a 6-minute opening statements, the pros of your film and the cons of your opponents. Then you will get a warning tone at 5 minutes, cut off very rudely at 6. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a short break and we'll come back with a cross-examination where I'll be asking some questions. And then another short break and we'll come back with 3-minute closing arguments.
Cool.
Okay. So we will be starting with KB. Your time starts when you start talking.
In my last debate, I spoke a lot about this movie's strong themes of family, belonging, and a sense of being found. It's these messages that make Lilo and Stitch such a beautiful film. After all, it is the story and characters that make a film that stands the test of time. While the aforementioned themes are quite obvious throughout this film, there are more subtle themes that also, I believe, give Lilo and Stitch the edge over Brave. How do we teach our children respect and kindness? By telling them how to behave? Partially, yes. But it can be argued that it is more important to show them. What's better than a movie where the rich girl rejects all notions of love? A movie where romantic love is not even the focus. With the very sideline story of Nani and David, we see David courting the 19-year-old Nani. Nani rejects David's advances, and what does he do? Does he go on a crusade to win her love? No! Like a gentleman, he backs off and instead provides support for Nani and Lilo in what is a really tough time for them. This is a truly beautiful depiction of a healthy relationship in a Disney film. You know what else this movie shows us? And again, I say shows us because it's not a focal point of the movie, rather something the audience can gauge from the actions and decisions of our leading ladies. Feminism. We see a 19-year-old Nani give up everything to be the sole legal guardian of her little sister. We see her fight for Lilo even when Lilo pushes back and argues with her. Which brings us to Lilo. A little girl who continues to be herself even when others tease her for it. She shows an unwavering love for her alien friend, which she originally believes to be her dog. And this isn't the first time we see her love something that isn't quite the social norm. In the beginning of the film, where we meet Lilo's hula class, the others are off to play with their Barbies, and Lilo shows them a homemade dog called Scrump. Lilo made Scrump herself and often has to give her surgery after she gets torn. While the other girls tease and taunt her for her doll, Lilo shows compassion for her dear toy. Bustle.com states that this point perfectly. In Lilo and Stitch, it's Lilo's unconventional feminist power that makes her a model for future female Disney characters like Merida from Brave, Moana from Moana, and Riley from Disney Pixar's Inside Out. Lilo helped break the mold for what a young feminist could look like, and she reshaped it in her own image. Lilo's mold for future female Disney characters is simple. It's okay to be imperfect or rough around the edges, so long as you are guided by your own moral compass. You can mess up. You don't have to play by the rules. You can get your hands dirty, throw traditional femininity out the window, and create your own rules. It's okay to be that kind of young woman. To further my argument, both Nani and Lilo are animated in a way that is a beautiful representation of strong and healthy Polynesian women. We see a contrast of this in Merida, who has a tiny waist, corseted, yes, however still intentionally tiny. Disney didn't stop there when it came to Merida's appearance. Just before her induction into the princess lineup in 2013, Disney deemed her their original depiction of Merida not glam enough to join the ranks of Disney princesses and gave her a shameful makeover, essentially sexualizing a 16-year-old girl, reducing everything the character had done for feminism in her movie to the same likes of the cartoon in the cartoons of the 1930s. Speaking of acceptance, I believe Lilo and Stitch really drives home the idea of loving and accepting all. We see a human family adopt an alien and care for him as one of their own. But not only this. Rewatching this movie, I realise Pleakley is a gender non-conforming alien. Where most the other aliens have a clear gender, Pleakley's is far more fluid. He's a male voice who has very feminine inflections and wears both male and female clothing. As a child, I never questioned this. It was just Pleakley. This movie supports and encourages all differences. Lilo and Stitch doesn't pinpoint each character's differences in the movie, but rather with the structure of the film, normalizes everyone. On the flip side of this, we see Merida and her mother Eleanor struggling to accept each other's differences. It's only after Merida turns her mother into a bear and believes she is permanently going to stay that way that through guilt she mends the rift between them. Disney uses music in this film in a unique and marvelous way. The soundtrack only features Hawaiian music and the music of Elvis, which, while it can't be proven, I believe that this was a nod to the Hawaiian culture, but also to Nani and Lilo's parents. I believe Lilo's love for Elvis came from her parents. We only see her play his music on a record player, not a CD or a cassette player, the prevalent music devices of the time. So a logical conclusion for her strange choice of music and devices that Lilo, in an attempt to connect with her loved ones, plays her parents' records. While yes, this is just a theory, it also ties in with the overarching theme, Ohana means family, and family means no one gets left behind or forgotten. I think it is clear Lilo and Stitch stand the test of time and to this day are still prevalent in pop culture. Lilo and Stitch merchandise is very easy to come across, with retailers like Big W and JJ's selling Stitch t-shirts, other retailers selling pop vinyls, keyrings, phone cases, charms, bedspreads, and there are multiple stunning gym statues. They're still featured in the Tokyo Disneyland parades, whereas Merida is not, and the original move inspired by the following Stitch the movie, Lilo and Stitch the series, Lilo and Stitch 2, Stitch has a glitch, The Origin of Stitch, Leroy and Stitch, Stitch 2008 to 2015, and Stitch and Ali, don't even get me started on 8 video games. So I pose the question, did the audiences love Brave enough to create even just one sequel? In summary, Lilo and Stitch is a far stronger contender for best Disney movie of all time over Brave for its healthy depiction of relationships, its representation of strong women, and its running theme of acceptance, its nostalgic use of music, and finally, its lasting effects on the general public.
Okay, with 10 seconds to spare, well done. My hand is sore for writing all my notes. So, Gina, you will have 6 minutes with a warning at 5.
Can I just point out that Merida has appeared in Disneyland parades in other parks. So,
just not currently in Tokyo Disneyland.
She travels in the parade. down the parade route on a giant bagpipe accompanied by Scottish dancers.
Of course she does.
Which, according to this website, is, quote, a sight you won't want to miss.
I thought you were about to say won't want to see.
Okay, giant bagpipes aside, Gina, your time starts when you start talking.
Brave is the best and most feminist Disney movie of all time. Brave is a magnificent film that focuses on the complex and loving relationship between a mother and a daughter and is the first Disney princess film to not include a love interest. This is a huge and sensational step in the right direction for Disney, as all too often little girls are told that falling in love is the biggest adventure of all. Brave teaches us that women and girls are strong, courageous, and independent. There are so many important and valuable messages in this film. The importance of family, that you have control over your own destiny, the breaking down of gender stereotypes, as Brave successfully shows us, the audience, that forcing gender stereotypes on a young woman can negatively affect a family, herself, and those around her. And the definition of brave in itself. There's bravery in the face of fear, and bravery to stand up for what you believe in, bravery to say what needs to be said, bravery to accept change, which Merida does all of those in this film. But most importantly, bravery in putting aside your pride and admitting you're wrong. Brave shows us a realistic relationship between a mother and a daughter. This is also the first Disney princess film to show a nuclear family where both parents are alive. Brave paved the way for future female-orientated Disney films, and rightly so. Brave won the Oscar, BAFTA, and Golden Globe for Best Animated Film in 2013. It also won an Annie Award for Best Production Design and Editorial in an Animated Feature Production. Brave's director, Brenda Chapman, was Pixar's first female director of a feature-length film, and Brave was the first Pixar film to star a female protagonist with an all-star cast: Kelly MacDonald, Billy Bloody Connolly, Emma Bloody Thompson, Julie Bloody Walters, and Robbie Coltrane. Merida is our first realistically shaped, curly-haired female protagonist. She looks her age, isn't sexualized, and is our first Disney princess to have pale skin. Lots of freckles and crazy curly hair, which is such an amazing change from Disney's princesses who look like they've been photoshopped. Her magnificent and detailed hair was created by the animators, who used 1,500 hand-sculpted individual curls, which took them almost 3 years to finally get the finishing look for her hair. And they spent 2 whole months working on the scene where Merida removes her hood, and you could see the full volume and beauty of her hair. The animators also need a round of applause for creating the stunning Scottish countryside. The details are so nuanced, and I felt like I was right there with her. One of my favorite scenes is when she's running through the countryside on the back of Angus, her horse, and she's practicing her archery and hitting every single target, by the way. And the song Touch the Sky plays in the background. There's another scene with her mother as the bear trying to sneak up the stairs while Merida tries to distract the crowd. The scene where the little brothers turn into little bears and are running throughout the house. But nothing can beat the scene where she fights for her own hand in marriage and gets bullseyes for every shot and even splits an arrow straight down the middle because she's that good. Which again teaches the audience that you have control over your future and destiny, and no one can tell you how to live your life. The music was created by the sensational Patrick Doyle, who composed music for movies like Sense and Sensibility and Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Now, Stitch ruins their lives. They're literally struggling as it is, and Stitch comes in and makes everything 1,000 times more difficult. Lilo gets left out and bullied because the girls find her weird and different, which never gets addressed, by the way, and the girls never apologize. She is so ostracized that she turned to getting a pet, which turns out to be an alien, and being friends with this alien puts her life at risk. Stitch uses Lilo as a shield when he's being attacked by Jumba and Pleakley. Stitch comes back to the house and brings his enemies with him, and the house gets destroyed, and any little hope that Nanny and Lilo had of staying together is ruined, because when she lost her job because of Stitch and she tried to get another job, Stitch ruined all of those chances as well. And then when they're captured, Stitch abandons her when she's on the spaceship. And just because at the end he decides that he likes them and he saves Lilo, which anyone would do, we're meant to forgive every horrible and weird thing he's done. What exactly is the message in Lilo and Stitch? Ohana means family. Does that mean we accept family just because they're, in quotation marks, our family? Even if they're disruptive, chaotic, and toxic, like Stitch is. Lilo and Stitch paints social workers out to be scary and forbidding characters that are only there to ruin a family. This is dishonest and really unrealistic representation. Nanny has Lilo's best wishes at heart and is her sister, and yet this social worker is trying his best to see the worst of their situation. It all gets, in quotation marks, sorted in the end. But we all know that ending was putting a band-aid over the bullet hole that is the mess that Stitch made. You said, how do we teach our children respect and kindness? Is that what the bullying of Lilo shows, or how Stitch didn't respect Lilo or Nani except when it suited him? Also, any good person would raise their sister. You don't get a medal for being a decent person. Brave is a story of perseverance, family, and the power to change your destiny. Lilo and Stitch is a story of forgiving toxic people, no matter if they bully you, fire you, or ruin your life. Also, does Lilo and Stitch have Billy Connolly and Emma Thompson? I think not. Dab.
Okay, don't need the whole time. Wonderful. Okay, any fact checks that need to be fact?
There was a statement made that... that Brave was one of the most feminist... was the best, the most, what was the actual?
I don't
the
know.
Most the most feminist movie of all time.
Is what I've written down.
The most feminist movie of all time. It doesn't...
I said Disney movie.
It doesn't make the top 25 of the most feminist movie, and it is number 10 on the most feminist animated film.
Which is the first.
which is not even the first Disney on that list.
I would be interested to know what
on the same
top
list Lilo and Stitch is number 13, so it is right
oh,
there.
More feminist than Lilo and Stitch.
But right behind it, the one Disney animated film that does make it onto the top 25 most feminist films of all time is Mulan.
And all which right. one is that?
Number 25.
Oh, right, fair.
Yeah. Okay, well, we will take a short break and we'll be back with the cross-examination round. All right, I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
First up, KB.
Yes, same.
You mentioned that
yes.
Lilo and Stitch has an entire trail of sequels and television shows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
How can that be counted as a bonus when usually sequels count against the original content?
I mean, it kind of shows that, I mean, they tend to stop if they're not being watched, right? That's the way that movies make their money. They need an audience. And if there was no audience, then they would stop making them.
Okay.
And for Julie and me as a team, I'm going to say the more we see an adaption of it, and in different ways, some of them are an anime adaption to meet a different audience, and the amount of video games that have been made, it shows that there are people that still want the content.
Okay, so you're speaking to the movie for its the popularity of the characters, not the quality of the sequels.
I mean, I personally haven't seen the sequel, so it would be remiss of me to confirm or deny that.
Okay. So my next question is for Gina.
Yes, hello.
Now, you said, amongst the things that you said
yes.
in against Lilo and Stitch, you don't get a medal for being a decent person.
Yeah.
Directly after you kind of congratulated a lot of your characters on just being a decent person.
Yeah, okay, I see, yes.
So I'm just wondering where you draw that line of where you are a good person who gets your just rewards for being a good person, and where you are just being a decent person, so we don't need to remark on it. Where is that line,
yeah.
and why is Brave further across that line than Lilo and Stitch?
Because it's... in Lilo and Stitch, it wasn't really a part of the story. The story wasn't Nani and Lilo, oh, where it's so hard being a mother. Like, that's not what it was. It was about Lilo's struggle in childhood and, well, in this time of her life, and Stitch, this weird alien person. So I don't think, whereas in Brave, there's a choice. And I mean, there's always a choice. Of course there is. None.
What choice specifically are you talking about in Brave?
A lot of choices. Like, there's so many times where Merida does either dumb things or good things to be either a good or bad person.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a choice that she makes to be that person. And the same with her mother, I think, are the two main, like, characters. Whereas in Lilo and Stitch, it wasn't a part of the story. And it's also different times. Like, I understand the question, but I think Nani, I just don't think you get points for raising your sister. Like, that's not...
But a mother gets points for raising her child.
No, no, no. Like, I mean, if she didn't raise her sister, it wouldn't be a Disney
film.
Okay,
so you're saying that Nani gets an easy medal, basically, yes, for doing what any decent person would.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
So which character in Brave makes the choice to do something that any decent person usually wouldn't?
No decent person would turn their mother into a bear.
Okay, so you're saying that Merida is actually not as good as Nani then?
Yeah, but she changes.
Okay.
There's a character arc in that.
That's fine. So that kind of leads into my next question, which is, you kind of said, you went on a tirade about how Stitch just went in, made everything worse, destroyed the whole house, used Lilo as a shield, and like, yes, he was literally designed to be evil.
Yeah.
And he did all these things.
Yes.
And then his character arc is becoming good at the end. Now, rather than focusing on Nani, because I don't think that Nani is the main focus in Lilo and Stitch, being that it's Lilo and Stitch.
Yes.
The same could be said for Merida. Merida has this idea in her head and she goes and does this thing that ruins everything.
Yeah, fair.
She almost gets her father to kill her mother. So why? Why is that a problem in Lilo and Stitch and not in Brave?
Because she... Stitch is made and doesn't feel bad about ruining everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until at the very end when he gets captured and he's feeling alone. Then he's like, oh no, what's happened? Whereas like all Merida wanted to do, she was like, Mom, you got some crazy things. Also, I need to say that Merida's like a 13-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference between...
Stitch is technically 21 days old.
He's also an alien.
Yes.
Like, there's very big...
So that's what I mean. Like, age is pretty relevant when we're talking about character traits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with, like, a 13-year-old girl, she doesn't think of the consequences because she's a 13-year-old girl. She doesn't mean to turn her mum into a bear. All she thinks this cookie's going to do is make her change her ideas. So all of the bad things that happened after that were, yes, her fault, but was not intended.
Okay.
Whereas everything Stitch did, he was like, oh... You know, when they go to Nani's work and he just eats something and turns something on fire and he doesn't care.
But it was hilarious. Okay. So, KB, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Now, Gina said Coco Bubbles. is it Cobra? Cobra Bubbles.
Cobra Bubble. Yeah, yeah.
Depicts social workers as something to be feared. Can you speak to that, please?
I think that in reality, social workers are feared by a lot of families that go in and they, because they're the sign of they're going to take a child away from its family. And although that is not the case for social workers, I think it depicts a really real perspective that families who deal with the Department of Child Safety have of the removal of children and how that can affect the grand scheme of things. So I do think that that view of social workers is valid.
So that's part of how he's viewed. Do you think his depiction in the film is either unrealistic and unfair or adds to the overall story? Which kind of is it?
Is one he, or the other?
Is he a secondary bad guy?
I think he's made out to be the secondary bad guy, and I think if we had been given the movie from his point of view, it would be a different case. But it's not. It's a view from Lilo and Stitch's case, and that is how he's seen in their childlike opinion.
Okay.
Can Lauren? I say something?
Yeah, sure.
The Lilo and Stitch is through the eyes of a child, though.
Yeah.
So imagine if you're a child who is in foster care and you see this representation, or you have that forebating image. And I think I was never in foster care, so I can't say what it's like. But I would hope that there should be good representation of social workers, because at the end of the day, most of them just want what's best.
Okay. Can I ask you a question then?
Yeah.
Because you did make this point, and I think he is presented as a very intimidating figure right off the bat. Do you think he ever acts in an unreasonable way in the film?
Not unreasonable, but it's like he was a caricature. Yeah, thank you. Of a social worker. So he's kind of
worst case scenario.
Yes.
And that could be a negative thing for kids in foster care.
Yes.
Okay. I accept that point. Thank you, KB, for answering to it. Mm-hmm. One final question for Gina.
Okay.
What do you have to say about Disney's treatment of Merida? Because to be accepted into the Disney canon, she has undergone a little bit of a transformation that undoes a lot of what she did for herself and the choices she made in the film.
Yeah, that's fair. But I still think she's a lot better than what they once were. Like, I think we're getting better with time. And I think KB made a great statement about Lilo and Nani, because they are very realistically shaped. But with Merida, she has a bit of Disney-fied about her, but she's not anything close to Ariel or Pocahontas. Like, she's got freckles. She's not sticks in. Like, you know, she looks like a kid. And I would have to say, KB, you said that she was sexualized. I don't see that at all. So that's a disagreement.
In the Disney princess line version of Merida?
What do you mean?
So when the Disney has their Disney princesses, their official Disney princess lineup, the character design has changed a fair bit, and you don't think that the new one is more sexualized?
I don't think so.
Okay, fair enough.
Can I fact check that?
You can. While you fact check that in the break, we'll take a short break and we'll come back with 3-minute summaries. All right, we are back with our final round, which is 3-minute final summaries. But before that, we do have a fact check to get back to.
The Brave makeover was actually described by the co-director of Brave as atrocious and blatantly sexist. They lowered her neckline, made her hair blow in the breeze, cocked her hip in a lot of the images, took her bow and arrow off her, and generally made her facial features a lot more feminine.
Right.
And she does a lot of, you know, putting her head to the side and lifting her shoulder. They made her all like coy, and it's definitely a sexy makeover.
Well, it's not part of the actual film, so I'm not going to count it too heavily in the negatives. I just wanted to see what you had to say about
it. But it is a shame that the Disney brand didn't latch on to what the movie created and said, we own this.
Yeah.
What Disney brand machine did is say, that doesn't fit, we'll change it.
Mm. They got a bit nervous of changing the...
So she does look a little bit more like a Barbie doll now.
Okay.
Ooh.
Well, final round. So, KB?
Yeah.
3 minutes.
Yeah.
Your time starts when you start talking.
Feminism, different notions of love, music that we know and love, and the push for acceptance makes Lilo and Stitch a wonderful film. A nuclear family is fine, but Lilo and Stitch also shows a family in a different and possibly more realistic way so that more kids can relate to it. Yes, Lilo struggles, but has a strong woman as a role model, as does Merida, but Merida turns hers into a bear. Stitch is from a different world and is essentially a child learning new things in a new world. So can his behavior really be expected to be any different? By the end of the film, he has figured it out, like most children do. Ralph Breaks the Internet also even asks if Merida is meant to be there with the other princesses. Just saying, Disney has already commented on it. No family is really going to view social workers in a positive light. And even in shows and movies such as The Fosters that have come after Lilo and Stitch, social workers are still not always shown in a positive light, because often it is not a positive experience or always has a positive result, no matter what the intention of the social work themselves is. Gender stereotypes in Lilo and Stitch are questioned, but not in an overt way. Tangled features a female protagonist before Brave and also featured freckles, so Merida wasn't the first. Lilo and Stitch doesn't have a love interest for its protagonist other than her new pet. And I like that it has the notion that you can always find room for someone or some alien in need.
Okay. Did not need your whole time. Well done. And I will say, freckles, yes. Curly red hair.
No. That's why I didn't mention it.
Okay. So it's not a rebuttal. I'm just going to make clear that that's not a rebuttal. Okay. So let us go to Gina now for your 3-minute summary. If you need all that time, feel free to use it. But as KB said, showed, you don't need to use all of it if you do not need it.
Okay.
Your time starts when you start talking.
You said that Brave, you misquoted me. I did not say she was the first female protagonist. I said she was the first female protagonist to not have a love interest in the movie. Whereas Nanny even has a boyfriend. Like they had to pop it in there somewhere because Disney. And different types of love. You have a sister and a sister and sister love. There's that you don't have many different types of love than I do, really. You've got family love. I just have to say that Stitch isn't... I know that you tried to make him into a child, but he's not an... He's an alien. And there's no lesson that we learnt there. He ruined stuff. He got forgiven. The end. And we're supposed to... What do we take away from that? I don't know. I have so many different messages in Brave, and all you've got is it's funny. And Ohana means family, but that's not a very strong message when there is nothing backing it. Lilo and Stitch is a below-par movie that teaches us to accept family no matter how toxic they are to us. Brave is sensational. This film shows us that just because it's tradition doesn't mean it's always right. It's the only Disney princess movie that doesn't focus on a princess who longs to find her one true love, but the loving and realistic relationship between a mother and a daughter, which seems to be neglected not only in Disney but in film in general. The animation is outstanding. The 3D animation is, I'm sorry, better than the 2D lackluster that is Lilo and Stitch. The music is inspirational and fits perfectly to the Scottish theme and countryside. Merida is a wonderful, talented, smart and strong young woman who teaches us that our fate is within us. You just have to be brave enough to see it.
Excellent. Nice. Okay, did not need your whole time either. Congratulations. Okay, now I have to go over my notes. Make a decision. So please let me know what you like about each other's films. Are there any final facts to check, Miranda?
Nope.
Excellent. Okay, please fill this airtime while I go over my notes.
I don't actually hate Lilo and Stitch. It's actually pretty funny. And yeah, I don't know. I like it.
Yeah,
Nani's cool. She is a good role model. And
she's sweet.
I just don't like Stitch. I've realized he's a bit of a not nice person. Not about him.
Not about
him. And I love Cobra Bubbles. He's really cool. And he turns out to be like really kind.
Yeah.
But he's just like doing his job.
He's doing his job. Everyone gets misinterpreted sometimes. I also love Brave. I like, if I had to choose which side of the table I would be on today, it would have been on the Brave side.
Thank you.
I think it was amazing for what it did. And it also... I don't know. I'm not a redhead, but I can imagine that seeing a princess that you could relate to was really actually quite inspiring.
Yeah. For those at home, I'm a redhead. I was like of an adult age when this came out, I think, but it was still good to be like, hey, that's a girl that looks like
that
me.
Looks like me.
Because no one looks like Ariel.
No, nobody looks like Ariel and never will.
No.
Is it's because true. They don't have a tail?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
No one looks like Ariel.
She doesn't have a tail. And also we're not swimming for 24 hours a day, so yeah. Our abs just can't get there.
And I don't know what's with her hair, but it's just...
It just sits perfectly.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's because she's animated, everyone.
Oh, what?
Is that what it is? Oh,
okay. Just wanted to just clarify that. Okay, I've made a decision.
Okay.
Great. Let's do it.
This is an interesting one.
Okay.
Because in my mind, these films are very similar in message. In that they directly question what makes a good person. In one, it's a much more innocent story in Brave, kind of leaning on folklore, and one is a much more kind of wacky story in Lilo and Stitch. Mm-hmm. I think they both speak a lot to families in very different ways, because one, like you said, is the first nuclear traditional family ever shown in a Disney film.
Yeah.
And then you have Lilo and Stitch, which is kind of the epitome of a broken and recreated family, and choosing who your family is and who you bond with. Controlling your own destiny is also a big part in both. Like, Stitch is all about learning a new way to approach the universe than the way that he was created to approach the universe. Whereas Merida, she wants to control her destiny so much that she makes mistakes in order to try and find that way, and it's really just through communication that she has to do it.
Still something we need to learn.
That's the thing. Like, both of these films are full of really good messages and just slightly different to each other. So I think I can't really make a choice on which has the better message.
Yeah.
Again, the music, very different.
Very different.
But I do like it in both. Like, again, paying homage to the Hawaiian culture and Elvis's ties to that culture. And again, the Scottish culture with the score that was created for that. Now, animation is very different in both of them. Lilo and Stitch was towards the end of the traditional animation, and they were trying a lot of different things. Brave was at the start ish of 3D animation. I think both of them used the methods to great effect, and neither of you really picked on the other for animation. So I can't really
didn't do that at all, did I?
No, I can't really hold it against either of them. One thing I would like to talk about that was addressed by KB and not addressed by Gina was privilege. Brave is about a rich girl, literally highest echelons of society, who wants to reject the rather strict rules that are put upon her by her rank. And when you never see people who might just die to be where she is, suffering the things that she's suffering. Whereas Lilo and Stitch, it really is lower echelons of the socioeconomic, like struggling to find work, struggling to make ends meet, having to sacrifice personal connections and what you want out of life in order to make ends meet. And I think, so that's something that I think Lilo and Stitch has over Brave.
Yeah.
Something I think Brave has over Lilo and Stitch is the ease of storytelling. I think Brave is a much more sophisticated story. It gets its messages across a lot more succinctly, whereas Lilo and Stitch, the morals are really just in the story for you to observe, whereas Brave is like, as Merida is going through this transformation, she really has to spell out to herself why this is happening and what she did wrong and where she has to fix it. So I think when it comes to a storytelling side, I would lean slightly on to Brave. Now, what it comes down to honestly gender representation.
Yeah.
Because Brave does. It questions what a girl should be to be considered a success. Like, Merida is questioning all these things, but what it doesn't do is question what a boy should be. Whereas just in that one, and there are a few characters that are kind of gender neutral and or non-binary in Lilo and Stitch. I think that Lilo and Stitch has that in it, bound up in all this other representation and all of these great morals that Brave also has, but it just doesn't have this kind of broad aspect of literally accepting everyone. Now, Gina, you did have one point to say against this, which was accepting family without any questions.
Yeah.
And I would say that is a very valid point if either Nani or Lilo were presented as doormats in this movie. But at several points, Nani loses it with Jason, with Lilo, with Stitch. She makes herself known. She makes her know what the rules are and why she's not doing this. Lilo also does it to both Stitch and Nani to very funny effect. So today, Lilo and Stitch is the better Disney film.
My oh my goodness.
Julie's not going to hate me forever. Well done, though, Gina.
That's a very hard one. Really. These are both great, great films. Yeah. And of course, they would be getting picked in the popular vote, of course.
Yeah.
So it's rough, but we'll see Lilo go on. So Lilo,
oh my God.
Lilo is going to be going up against Ratatouille in the next round.
Good. That should be fun for everyone.
So everyone can look forward to that. Thank you very much, Miranda, for fact-checking us all the way to the end.
No problem. I was here the whole time.
You were. You fact-checked whether or not Merida was sexualized.
She was.
Thank you very much, Gina, for fighting so valiantly for Brave.
Thank you. Thank you and good night.
And thank you, KB, for stepping in for Julie today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
If you want to let me know that I got it wrong, you can on our Facebook page. There will be a poll up there. You can also find us on Instagram and on Twitter and a home on the web, thatsnotcanon.com/Disney vs Disney debates. This right here is the end of the second round.
Oh, wow.
From here on out, we will be taking a little break and coming back with round three, which will be a new format and all the movies that have made it through so far.
It's exciting and so stressful.
Look forward to that in the next couple of weeks. Until then, I've been Zane C. Weber. Keep watching Disney, everyone.
Are you a grown-up who loves Disney? Are you a grown-up who wants all the facts? Are you a grown-up who spends copious hours arguing with friends and family about the deep intellectual properties of your favourite Disney movie? Do you want to delve deeper into the realms of Disney with us?
I'm Stacey.
And I'm Georgina.
And together
we're Disney Grown-Up.
We are the place to get all of the intellectual debate on your favourite Disney movie.
Get all of those fun facts.
And a whole heap of raw reactions to all of those interesting Disney movie moments. You can find us where any good podcast is found or on our website, thatsnotcanonproductions.com.
Join us for Disney Grown Up.
You know you want to.
A That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Become a chartered accountant, and you can become anything, from entrepreneur to CEO. Take the flexible route and study online with us to secure your success. The time is now. Sign up to the flexible route at charteredaccountants.ie.
Grenke, 100% your finance partner for fast, accessible cash flow solutions. Get back to business with Grenke. Get the latest equipment you need and keep your cash where you need it in your business through leasing and invoice finance. We make credit decisions in 20 minutes and can pay your supplier or fund your chosen invoices within 24 hours of completion. We finance 100% of the asset, no deposits needed, and you can lease equipment from as little as €500 upwards. Grenke, your finance partner for fast, efficient leasing and invoice finance options. That's Grenke.